gave a brief introduction last Lord's Day evening concerning this topic. There'll be a couple titles to it, but the title of the Lamb of God or God's Last Lamb. And just going to make the connection between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. You know, there's some similarities and there's some contrast, but it's just kind of interesting because Jesus was observing the Passover when he instituted his own supper for his disciples. So there's just some, sometimes there's some questions. I'm going to give you some added information, good review, maybe some things you forgot that were part of the story, but it just is kind of interesting. And by the way, I introduced it by saying, in the upper room, when Jesus observed the Passover, there were at least nine events that took place in that upper room. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He identifies Judas as the betrayer. He predicts Peter's denial. He announces his departure and ascension. He promises another helper. He prays in John chapter 17, 26 verses of Jesus' prayer. He partakes of the Passover with the disciples. He institutes his own supper. And then they sing a hymn. So we're going to kind of focus on the Lord's Supper, but also tie it in with the Passover feast and notice some things that it's associated with. Just mentioned last week that when Jesus observed his own supper from the Passover table, there were four elements, as you know. I think I've listed those in your notes. From the Passover table had the lamb, then the bitter herbs, unleavened bread. Now those are the three things that the book of Exodus mentions in particular. We also note that there was a cup, because the cup is listed when we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus took the cup. But the cup is not listed, just for your information, in the Exodus account of the Passover feast. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, mentions, this is what I received of the Lord, and I delivered unto you, and given the instructions concerning the Lord's Supper. And he refocuses on that. Jesus took bread, and then, in like manner, he took the cup. So we know from the four items that were on the Passover table, Jesus takes two and institutes his own supper. He takes the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And we'll note those even a little farther in the text. I mentioned last week, just by interest, there's four different names for the Lord's Supper that the Bible mentions. So you hear people mention that is, will now observe the breaking of the bread, or they could call it communion in 1 Corinthians 10. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul calls it the Lord's table, and in chapter 11, he calls it the Lord's Supper. So those four things. I want to give you the information. As a teacher, not sure about prior knowledge, but so I want to give you information concerning the Passover, because that's what Jesus was observing, and I'll refer to the Passover in every point of the notes that I'm giving to you. So here's the actual story I'm going to read to you, at least in part. First of all, in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. Exodus 11, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, I'll bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Verse 4. Then Moses said to the Israelites, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I'll go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. There are six. There will be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as what was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But, in verse 7, against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that, now why would Israel be exempt? That you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And in your notes a little further in the outline, I'm going to mention there's two other places where God specifically mentions concerning the plagues, Israel is exempt. So there are about three places in the text in Exodus where God says, no, I'm going to set Israel apart from the plagues. Right? Then in chapter 12, verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. So there was a number of people, or God designated the number of people per household. And if your household did not have that number of people, say 15, 12 to 15, you would join with another household. So you would partake. So there was a minimum number of people that were required for to take a lamb into the household. So verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You can take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So you take a lamb and you're going to keep it at your house or in the household for 4 days. Then, that's on the 14th, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. It'll be important. It'll be from twilight, and then the plague will come at midnight. So those time frames. Verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two port doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So those are the three things that the Exodus mentions that is going to be on the Passover table. The lamb, the bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. Verse 9. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. That will be a point. I'm going to talk about the difference that Israel was going to eat the Passover, this first one, in haste. And sometimes, you know, we, in our observance of the Lord's Supper, some, just by aside, just an aside, I'll cover this at the end. But sometimes brethren are so, some congregations, I don't know, there's thousands of congregations, I only know a couple. But sometimes people want to get the Lord's Supper through in haste because of the number of people. So they'll have multiple, lots of trays and lots of people up there so they can get everybody served in haste. But the Passover was taken in haste, and when I get to the story of the Passover or the Lord's Supper in the Gospel of John, you're going to find a different story. And remember, there were 9 events in the upper room where they take the Passover and the Lord's Supper. It was not in haste. But just an observation. So verse 11, eat it with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. Another interesting phrase, just for an aside, just to kind of let you know, the Bible does not call it the death angel. You've heard that since your youth. The death angel with the last plague. Word death angel is not in the text. The Lord said, I will pass over you. So just for your information. This is like, people say, Gabriel, blow your horn. The Bible never has reference to Gabriel blowing a horn. But yet we say it. So just, I want you to be an observant reader when you read a text. Sometimes what you hear so often, you think is the truth. Well, it must be right. It's like three wise men. The Bible doesn't say how many wise men. It says wise men came from the east. So, all right, let me go there. I get sometimes excited about what I read and say, oh, I know that. I want to add something to it. So verse 12, I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So then the text goes on and tells a little bit more of the story. But verse 28 says, and the children went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So they followed the procedure exactly as it was given. They didn't change anything. They didn't come back and say, Moses, Aaron, you know, I think this might be a better idea. No. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. That's going to come up later in your notes. In these two events, there's some contrast and there's some things that are similar. I'm just going to take you through number one. Because in the Passover, that was designed for Israel as a way to escape the threat of the 10th plague. Yeah. Exodus 11, verse 4, the Lord said, about midnight, I'll go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Oh, we have a problem. How are we going to solve that? So there's a difference from the first nine plagues. In the first nine, I have them written in my notes. Did I write them in your notes? First nine. Mm-hmm. First nine, there were the waters of Egypt were turned to blood. Then the river would bring forth frogs. Just another, by the way, when the plague of frogs came, Pharaoh called Moses, take away the frogs. Very specific question. Moses said, when do you want me to take away the frogs? Remember what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. What in the very popular sermon or something, this is my youth, the preacher would always have a title of the lesson for this, One More Night with the Frogs. Why would someone want to spend one more night with the frogs? Kind of, just an aside, it's kind of like the Mardi Gras. Before we go on 40 days of sacrifice, let's have one big bang. Give me one more night before I sacrifice. You know, give up things. It's just like even someone's getting married. Oh, we need to have a bachelor party. We need to have a celebration of us being single before we get married. You know, let's have one last nation, not Christians, but but typically the others, the Gentiles, you know, they might say, we need to have one big bash before you have to settle down. That's kind of like Pharaoh said, Moses said, Pharaoh, when do you want me to take the frogs away? Tomorrow. I might preach that sermon one of these days. Beasts throughout the land, swarms of flies, a severe pestilence on the livestock of Egyptians. There's boils that were going to break out in sores, a heavy hail to rain down, locusts, darkness over the land. Now the Israelites were exempt from these. In Exodus 8, verse 22, some of these I might not, may have not written in your notes. But in Exodus 8, verse 22, God said, in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. That's where the Israelites live. Goshen is on the east side of Egypt. The Nile Delta is between Egypt and the Red Sea. Israelites pretty much located as a community in Goshen. He said, so I'll set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, in order that you may know that I'm the Lord in the midst of the land. Back in Exodus 9, verse 4, the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and Egypt. Nothing shall die that belongs to Israel. So Israel was exempt in those first nine plagues. Now here's what's interesting. The tenth plague, they had to participate. For nine plagues, they could just sit over here and watch, but not the tenth. Not the tenth. God required participation from them in order to avoid death. They'd been in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. They needed God's deliverance, and the Passover would solve this. So in Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41, they sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. There's a problem. I want to go. Pharaoh, let my people go. How are we going to solve that? Well, the first nine plagues didn't do it, but the tenth. The tenth. Now the Lord's Supper. We have a problem. Israel was in bondage to Egypt. We're in bondage to sin. How are we going to get out of that? Jesus solves the problem. In Matthew 26, when he observed the Lord's Supper, he said he took the cup, gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus, what's your shed blood going to do? It's going to provide remission of sins. It takes away the problem. Isaiah 58, verse 2, your iniquities have separated you from God. Romans 3, verse 10 says there's none righteous. Nope, not one. In Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have a problem. Wonder how we're going to get that solved. Oh, Jesus introduces the solution at the Lord's Supper. When he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, to drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Problem solved. So I put in your notes just a phrase. So I put, the Lord's Supper is God's reminder to us to remember God's solution for us. That we were in slavery to sin and its consequences of eternal death. And Jesus, God through Jesus, solves the problem. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper, oh, Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 19, this do in remembrance of me. Oh, thank you. I was in bondage to sin. You provided a way out. You provided something that I could not provide for myself and something that I needed. I needed to be free from the bondage of sin. Israel needed to be free from the bondage of Egypt. So there's a similarity and a contrast. I'll continue this next Sunday evening, Lord willing. Keep your notes. There's three pages. I think I've handed out all the outlines, Jim. So put your name on those notes. Fold them up. Put them in a songbook rack or take them with you. Read them. Study them. Look for them. But you can kind of look ahead and see the direction we're going. Even the next one is going to be the selection of the Lamb. God gave specific instructions, so we'll take a look at that next week. We said we'll at the close of the lesson. This is going to be more of a class situation. I'm just going to kind of give you information in each of these points, and just a word of exhortation, instruction, just let you know about these two and their contrast. I'll give you a lot of sidebars. Say, oh, by the way. So that'll be the lesson. Last praise that Jesus provided for us. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for men for the remission of sins. And so when before Jesus ascended, after he's crucified the next day, he resurrected him, and he's on the earth for 40 more days. And then after 40 days, he's ascended back to the Father. 10 days later is the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. So Jesus told the disciples, I want you, in Luke 24, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. So go to the city and wait for that power from on high. That's what the disciples did, and that's what you have in Acts chapter 2. Chapter 1, the Spirit comes down. Chapter 2, Peter preaches, they crucified the Christ, they're guilty as charged. They cried out. Peter says in Acts 2, verse 37, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They heard that. They were cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Wait a minute, I've heard that phrase before at the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. All problem solved. For the remission of sins. For to you is a promise, and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized, added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfast in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized for the remission of sins. So a problem. There was a problem, and Jesus solves it. So that's the invitation we extend each time we assemble. We sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, that's a solution. That's a solution. That's part of that process. So let's stand together, and if you're subject to that, if that's your desire, if that's what you're on the mind this evening, just simply let it be known at the close of this song.